Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, so as we're talking, I just wanted to briefly introduce Real Life Foundation as well as we're talking about reaching out. We talked about my story and the awesome camp where the opportunity availed for a lot of us to get involved in reaching out to the youth of this generation here in Brisbane. How many of you know they're not the next generation, they're this generation. We're just kind of outdated. And you've got people like the Kosses that embody everything that I'm going to talk about in terms of reaching out. I mean, not everybody up and leaves their home for 6 months at a time to come and help out with a church plant. There's not too many people that I know that just say, oh, you know, we feel like God's moving us here, so we'll just uproot from where we are and go to a new nation and just help out. And we're here to serve you however you want us to serve. That's a heart after God's heart, which is what I want to talk about today. But we also wanted to talk about Real Life Foundation. The last series that we did, for those of you who are visiting, we go through preaching series, and we were talking about outlasters, which is living a life that will outlast yourself. And for the last two sessions, we talked about financial ways that we can outlast ourselves through giving and sowing. And I wanted to highlight something that Every Nation Ministries globally is doing in the nation of the Philippines. How many Filipinos do we have here? Yeah. Astig. So Real Life Foundation is a foundation that is headed by some of the people in Every Nation that are involved in Every Nation Ministries, but it's headed by a good friend of mine and Tina's named Lynn Nawata, and she basically runs this organization which provides scholarships for scholars. I mean, these are top scholars that come from families that make less than a dollar a day, and so that has to be the criteria. And so through that scholarship program, they have to commit to the leadership program that happens throughout their studies, and that teaches them basically why it's called Real Life is LIFE, leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence. So they teach them these principles. So it's impossible under the power of the Holy Spirit for you to go through Real Life, get a scholarship, and not come out a born again missionary after God's own heart in whatever field they are. And we, you know, Linda Water's heart really is just to see all of these people come from the poorest of the poor, educated, and change the nation of the Philippines and eventually the world. And so I'm just going to show a short video and then just introduce how we can be a part of what they're doing in the Philippines as well. So without further ado, we got it ready? Praise God. So here's what we're going to do as a church. And the reason why we're supporting Real Life and wanting to stand with Real Life is, number one, they're a part of our Every Nation family. Number two, they emphasize the importance of scholarships for students. So obviously campus ministry is really heavy on our hearts here at EM Brisbane. But number three, we are a blessed nation here in Australia. We have resources here that God has blessed us with and being a part of this nation. And, you know, whether you know it or not, the opportunities that God has given us here is not just for us to be blessed, to keep that blessing to ourselves. We really believe that as we sow into other nations, and I know some of our people here have been to Real Life and seen what they've done, and some of my Filipino friends here have come from similar backgrounds but been able to see God provide for them and see breakthrough in their lives. You know, if you think we're poor in this nation, now I'm not dismissing the poorness of our poor, but there's a difference between poor in certain parts of Brisbane and poor in Manila, and in certain parts of Manila. How many of you Filipinos would agree with me? Like the worst of conditions. The homes are made out of cardboard and corrugated iron, and it's just crazy, and it floods all the time, and tornadoes all the time in Manila and other parts of the Philippines. And so here are these champions who are wanting to get scholarships to change the culture in their nation. And we want to, in any way we can, be a part of this. And so what I want to challenge us as a church and a campus ministry with us here at Club Real is to, at the very least, provide one scholarship for one student and make this our Christmas gift for one student as a part of the Real Life Foundation. How many of you are in faith with me for that? Just to see that change. It's not much at all. I'll give you all the figures next week, but I want you guys who are members here, if you're visitors again, I mean, you're welcome to, but, you know, please don't think that we're all talking about money all the time because you're our guests, all right? So you just chill out, hang out. But for those of you who call Ian Brisbane home, this is really our chance to make a difference. How many of you know that this is good soil to sow into? And that as we as a church sow into this soil and sow beyond ourselves, we really believe that God's going to provide a blessing for us. That's not why we give. We just want to be a generous church. But I believe that one scholarship is just the start. It's just the start. And let me tell you, a scholarship at a university that these students go to is a lot cheaper than going to UQ or QUT or Griffith. So to provide that for one student would be awesome. So we're going to give you all the details next week. So all I want you to do is just be praying throughout this week and just ask God, because I'm just trusting God to do it. God put this on my heart, and so I wanted to present it to you as you pray. Then come back next week, and then I'll give you we'll talk about the amounts that we need to raise and so forth. And we can get creative, sell cupcakes and all that sort of stuff. I'll eat them after I finish my fasting. All right. How many of you are ready for the Word of God? You can skip that other slide, bro. Do we have a clicker up there? If you want more information, you can go to igivetolife.com. That's the website for Real Life, just in case you think I'm swindling you or anything like that. You know, Australian audience, you know, these prosperity preachers, maybe it's going to Nelly's fund. Go check out igivetolife.com. I'm just saying, this is the way I roll, okay? So I'm keeping it real with y'all. Okay, here we go. Our new series is called Multiply. Everybody say multiply. We're going to be talking about how to exponentially grow in discipleship. And so we have a process here at Every Nation Brisbane. I'm about to unleash it to you, but I'm going to trust my creative team to come up with a much better way to present it because I'm not that good at graphic design. But basically, the discipleship process here at Every Nation Brisbane starts with reaching. Everybody say reach. And then relate. And then raise. And release. Let's go one more time. Reach. Relate, raise, and release. Okay, we're going to be focusing on reaching today, the reaching part. And as we've already talked a lot, or in the examples that we've been given, whether it's the My Story camp, or whether it's Dave and Kim coming from New Zealand to be exemplary in reaching Brisbaneites for Jesus, or whether it's doing the work, supporting the work at Real Life. How many of you know God has called us all to be a reaching people? Okay, so I'm going to go straight to the Word of God. But before I do that, let's pray. Father, I thank you that your Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, it's your Word that brings us to life. You are the living Word. So Father, I pray we hear nothing but your Word today. Lord, I move out of the way that your Word would be distinct and clear for all of us today. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen. Okay, I know it's late afternoon, so I want you to focus on me, okay? I'm going to try and be as energetic as possible, try to shake it off, maybe stand up real quick and shake it off a little bit. Okay, not too Taylor Swiftish, but just shake it a little bit. Okay, you guys at the back too, stand up. This is not just for the people at the front, the eager beavers at the front. You guys need to shake it off. All right, yeah, just that. Someone, it's fine then. We're going to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we'll be starting in verse 25, 26. I'm going to read a portion of it, then I'm going to tell the rest of it, okay? Read and then tell. So verse 25, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, him meaning Jesus. And he said to him, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Don't you love Jesus? Answers his question with another question. How do you read it? The lawyer, of course, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Good Sunday school student, obviously. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Neighbors. Everybody needs good neighbors. So I'm going to give you the Lego movie version of how he answers this. Who is my neighbor? Everybody say, who is my neighbor?
Who is my neighbor?
Okay. There was a man who was walking on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when suddenly bandits ran out from the bushes and beat him up, leaving him bloodied and cold. Firstly, there was a priest, a professional Christian, and he walked along the road. And when he saw the man beaten and bloodied, he walked on the other side. Yeah, I don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. A Levite also walked down the road. Didn't you like that little block on his head? And when he saw him bloodied and beaten, he walked on the other side of the road. But along that way came a what? A Samaritan. And he was riding on his animal. Okay, you can check me on the Bible on this part. He's riding on his animal. And he saw the man who was beaten, bloodied, on the ground. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He got off his animal, took wine and oil, and bound his wounds up. Then took him and put him upon his horse. And they went to an innkeeper, and they said at the inn, take this man and put him in a room. I will pay for him tonight. And when I come back, I will pay everything that there is to be charged for him. And then he went on his way. And then Jesus asked, remember this? Who do you think was the neighbor in that case? And then how did the lawyer answer? Do you remember how he answered? He didn't even say the Samaritan. He said it was the one who helped the man, basically. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit more. Let's go back here, okay? Of course, when Jesus tells a parable, it's not just a story, but there's a deeper meaning to the story. So when Jesus was asked the question, who is my neighbor, rather than getting into a debate as a lawyer, what he chose to do was use an example in a story that could not be denied in the story. And so he used a geographical location that was very familiar, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as this man was going, he was beaten up, bloodied, and he was left for dead. Okay. Now there's a spiritual implication to that, and I'll come back to that. But I want to go to the first two dudes that walked past this man that was beaten and bloodied. The first guy was a priest. Now priests had a role. And their role was to serve in the temple, meaning that this guy was familiar with God activity, but obviously not familiar enough to help this man. He was more concerned about being a part of church activity or getting to his meeting on time or whatever excuse he may have had. I don't want to dirty my priestly clothes because I got my priestly swagger, and I don't want, you know, anybody, So I'm just going to walk past him. I don't know what excuse he had, but he was a professional man of God, meaning that that was his position of employment. If you looked on his passport, occupation, priest. He walked past him. Second guy was a Levite. Not only was the Levite a priest, but he was born into the ministry because the Levites were actually a tribe. a people group that were one of the tribes of Israel. And so in order to be a Levite, you had to be born into it. So not only was this dude a professional man of God, but he was born into it. And yet, he refused to help this man out who's beaten and bloodied on the other side. The Samaritan, though, comes, sees him, has compassion on him. Now, I'm here to tell you today, there's a vast difference between compassion and pity. Pity will look at the man and go, and Simon, talofai, and then just keep going. I will pray for you. Or maybe, you know, I'll sponsor you. Or maybe I'll just throw some money at you, whatever I have left over. Oh, I've only got one shoe. Here, take the shoe. But it's just pitiful when you have pity. The difference between pity and compassion causes you to rise up with the love of God that takes you into action. And it's with compassion that we're able to reach. Now, I want you to notice the way that the Samaritan reached him. He had to get off his animal, get off his high horse, and descend into the bloodiness and the dirtiness of this man who had just been beaten. Let me tell you, reaching is going to be messy. It's never always, well, you know, if I want to make a disciple, if I want to reach people, I just want to do it with like surgical gloves on, and I want them to already be clean, so it's just a lot easier. How many of you know that fishing, when you go fishing, like my brother Renee here, when you go fishing and you come home, I don't know, Leonard, when he comes home, does he smell good after fishing? You don't need to say anything. I'm going to save your marriage. You stink, man. Because fishing is messy. And so when Jesus tells his disciples to go and be fishers of men, he understands that it's going to be messy, it's going to be dirty, it's going to be smelly, but you need to get your hands involved. In order to reach, you need to stretch out. Get off your high horse and stretch out. And so he got off his high horse. And I want you to notice there were two things that he used. He used oil and wine. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Wine represents joy. So when Jesus died on the cross, obviously the night before he died, he took a cup of wine and he gave it to his disciples. He says, "This is my blood." And you need to understand the significance of this. When they partook in the first communion at the Last Supper, he was symbolizing that as he died and he would bleed, that he was purchasing a new joy that would last forever. And so Hebrews 12:2 says, "Therefore we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shames, now seated at the right hand of the Father." We now have joy because somebody got off his high horse in heaven, came down to us, bloodied and beaten. How many of you have been bloodied and beaten in the spirit before? You know, just totally shattered, had your life totally shattered. You were in a state where nothing could help you. No one could help you. But Jesus left his high horse, came down to earth, and he gave us his oil, the Holy Spirit, and his wine, his joy, and he bound up our wounds, put us onto his animal, elevating us to a position with him as sons and daughters of the living God, and took us to the inn. I'm here to tell you today, E.N. Brisbane, this is the inn. We are the innkeepers. E.N. Brisbane. Hotel E.N. Brisbane. 5-star. You can tell if it's a flash hotel if you cannot fit the corner of the towel in your ear. This needs to be that sort. That's the test. That's the test. You go try it. If you go to like a 2-star, you can fit that whole thing in there. My goodness, you come out, you know, planets and galaxies. But I'm here to tell you today, when people come, okay, when the broken and bruised and bloodied people come to E.N. Brisbane, will you be ready to receive them? Because as Jesus comes and he brings people to us, will we react like the priest and the Levite, or will we respond like the innkeeper? Sure, come. And he says, "I've paid it all. You just take care of them. I've paid the price. Take care of them, disciple them, raise them up." And when I come back, how many of you know Jesus is coming back? When I return, I will pay the rest. All that you've sown, all that you've put into the lives of these people who are broken and hurt, all that you sow financially, sow time-wise, sow in terms of your giftings, just putting into their lives, all that you've sown, I will reward you. I'll pay for it. So here's the caveat to all of this. I'm tying this up because we've already had somewhat of a sermon in everything that's been shared. You could see yourself in four different people in this parable. And none of them is the Samaritan. How many of you know the good Samaritan? There is only one who is good. The only Samaritan that there is Jesus Christ. And the reason why he is a Samaritan is that he came from, you know, he is 100% God and 100% man at the same time. So similar to the Samaritans from Samaria, they're partially this and partially that. Now, of course, Jesus was wholly this and wholly God and wholly man at the same time. But no one could, you know, and you need to understand, in Jewish culture, more than anything we see here in Australia, in Jewish culture, for a Samaritan to come in contact with a Jew was just inconceivable. Totally inconceivable. I mean, you even see it in the lawyer's response at the end. Who was the neighbor? Oh, it was the one who helped him. He couldn't even say Samaritan. It's how racist his heart was. He couldn't even say it. But that's how culturally earth-shattering the concept of Jesus Christ and his grace, leaving the culture of heaven, coming down to earth, giving of himself, so that we can see, we can be bound up in the Holy Spirit and experience his joy, taking us out of darkness, put into the marvelous light, and brought into the situation where we are able to get the healing, get the deliverance, get the discipleship, get the leadership development that we need in his house, in his inn, in his church. So we can either be the priest, the Levite, the guy who was beaten up, or the innkeeper. I'm here to ask you, which one are you? Which one are you today? I'll tell you, for a long time, I was the priest. I was the priest. And my heart naturally veers towards being a priest. And God will put this to the test, guys. God, throughout the week, he'll show you some people who are on that side of the road. And he'll ask you, are you going to be a that side Christian or are you going to be an other side priest? Other side Levite. Knowing that, you know, you're a card-carrying, King James Version-carrying, purple book finished-carrying, one-to-one-to-one-to-one-carrying, discipled the whole nation of some area-carrying, but you can't even walk on the same side as the broken, as the wounded, as the lost, as the poor. You can't do it. You can't get off your high horse because you're so busy being holy, being righteous. That was me, and that is me, naturally. But by the grace of God, he has shown me that I was the one who was broken. I was the one who was wounded. But he came from his high horse and took me on his animal, took me to be a part of this great family, every nation. Not just here in Brisbane, but globally. I mean, I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of this church. And there are many great churches in this city, in Brisbane. And they're all inns. They're all places where God wants to use to heal you and to change you and to transform you. But not transform you on the outside where you wear the stuff, where you wear the gear, but you walk on the other side. Here's the whole caveat of everything I want to talk about today. Don't be an other side Christian. Because it's an oxymoron. You can't be an other side Christian. God has called us to walk on the same side as those who don't know him, those who are broken, those who are hurt. And that means here in Brisbane, and that means across the world. I'm here to tell you, when you are a part of the solution and helping other people know Christ, it's amazing how your problems get taken care of. Amazing. Like, you may have a need, but when you sow yourself in helping other people, God just naturally takes care of it. It's biblical. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. How many of you would say with a prayer tonight, Lord, I want your eyes to see. the broken. Because some of us just don't see it. It's amazing. Like, I've taken quite a few mission trips to the Philippines, to different areas of the Philippines. And I'll take a lot of Filipinos with me, and they're totally oblivious to the poverty that's right in their city. And they're like, wow. And they live in that city. Like, they live in Manila, but in a more affluent part of Manila. And then I'll take them down to Tondo. And I'll take them, you know, out to the streets there and just to see them living amongst the rubbish heaps. And they're like, man, I was totally oblivious this was in my city. Other side Christians. You know, we don't want to be other side Christians. Tell me what this says, everybody. Okay, I'm going to flash it and you read it out to me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. So read it one more time. Okay, some of you missed the fact that there are two thes. It's natural for you to overlook the fact that there are two thes, or these, for those of you who are the people. I'm here to tell you, it's natural for you to overlook some people in the earth, in our city as well. It's just natural for us to, because we don't roll that way. How many of you have been to the other side of Brisbane? Like, where the people are hurt, where the people are broken. For those of you who are beaten, hurt, and broken in this room, I'm here to tell you that there is a Jesus who descended from heaven to earth 2,000 years ago and came to save you. And for those of us who already have been saved, it's our time to go on the same side and see the broken for who they are. And you know, we're not the savior of the world. God doesn't want us to go to everywhere. There's a specific group or groups of people that he wants us to minister to. But I'm here to tell you today that your destiny is inextricably linked to the broken and seeing them pulled out of their situation. I knew I wouldn't get an amen there. I'm just saying. But how many of you would say, man, you know what? I'm tired of being the priest. I'm tired of being the Levite. I'm tired of being self-righteous. I want my life to count for something that's far greater than myself. But I'm going to need the love of Christ. Because naturally, we don't gravitate towards loving the lost. It's just the point of fact. But with his love transforming us, we will reach the lost. We will reach the broken. We will be a church who reaches. If you don't like to reach, you won't like this church. I'm okay with that. If you want to go to a church that's all about me, can you serve me, make me grow, make me, you know, you will grow in this process. But if you put first his kingdom, if you put first his priority, if you put first his agenda, it's amazing the growth that naturally happens. It's like you didn't know you were growing. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to stand tonight, and we're going to pray. You can pull the lights down a little bit here. Not that quick. I'm getting a gradual. Sure. Just pull it down a little bit. Here's what we're going to do, guys. I want us to pray. And if that's you today and you find yourself guilty like me of being a priest or a Levite, or if you're in this room and you are broken and you're hurt and you recognize that Jesus wants to save you, I'm going to pray a prayer. And as we pray this prayer, I'm going to invite you in a moment to a point of decision. For those of you who don't know, that in Hebrew culture, before the cross, there were altars in the temple where they would offer sacrifices to show their dedication to God. This front area is our altar. And I'm going to invite you in just a moment, if that's you today, whether you find yourself being more of a priest and a Levite, or find yourself broken and you're in need of change, you're in need of God to transform you today and to pull you up out of your situation, and to just have your life taken over by him. If that's you today, just focus on me. Don't worry about things that are going on around you. This is your moment tonight. So I want to pray, then I'll invite you forward. Father, I thank you tonight that you rescued us. You are indeed, in that story, the Good Samaritan, who rode and saw us in our broken state and was willing to get off your horse, descend and see us in our brokenness, and yet still embrace us. Bind us with your joy and bind us with your Holy Spirit and put us upon your horse and take us to be a part of spiritual family. I thank you, God, that you reached down from heaven towards us tonight. And that's the reason why many of us are saved. But some of us may have veered towards self-righteousness. Some of us may have veered towards selfishness. Some of us may have veered towards just focusing on our own lives. Tonight we want to repent. We want to turn away from this attitude and we want to turn solely to follow you, God. We want our lives to count for things that are much greater than ourselves. We want our lives to count for reaching and impacting the poor and the lost, Lord. And for those of us in this room who are broken, Lord, we thank you for your healing. We thank you that you are healing us, that you reach down and you cause us to be made whole tonight. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you tonight and you're willing to make that decision to follow him, or you're wanting to just turn away from having that attitude of the priest or the Levite tonight. If that's you tonight, just can you lift your hand and just say, that's me. That's me. Awesome. Awesome. Father, I thank you for you causing these ones to have that recognition tonight. I want to invite you where you're standing. If you're really wanting to see that breakthrough tonight, just come out from where you're standing. I'm sure the people that are around you would let you come forward. And just come forward so that we can pray for you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If we can get some leaders to come and pray for these ones. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you for just the boldness of my sisters coming forward in a statement that would cause us to turn away from our attitudes towards self and turn towards you. Lord, we know that we're not naturally people that would love others or have that compassion. That compassion solely comes from Jesus. And so, Father, I'm asking tonight that as my sisters have come forward and making that declaration for you tonight, Father, that you would transform their hearts and break their hearts for what breaks yours. Father, even for the decisions that have been made to follow you wholeheartedly as ones who have been broken, and bloodied and bruised in the spirit. Father, I thank you tonight that there is a recognition that you are healer and you are one who restores and makes us new. The old has gone. And so, Father, I thank you tonight that today is a new day and that you're erasing our past, that the power of the enemy is finished tonight. And that we no longer are bound to the things of the past, the things that have held us back for so long. Father, we move forward in the strength, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the joy set before yourself, Lord God. We thank you that there is a destiny that you've called us to that is far greater than anything this world has to offer us. And we let go. We relinquish control. We hand over the steering wheel of our lives to you, God. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll get you guys just to come to the side. We want to close the service, and then we'll you guys can pray for the leaders can pray for them in just a second. That's us today, guys. I really want to challenge you. We were talking earlier on campus this week about the question of what are you on the planet for? What are you on Earth for? A lot of it is really wrapped up in serving and helping other people and reaching other people, and especially taking the gospel, the message of the gospel, where a God who saw us in our need, saw we didn't deserve it, but fully gave himself so that we could be set free and become new creatures and creations in him. So leaving behind the sin of the world and moving forward in the grace that was afforded to us. That's the message of the gospel. And so we carry that. We carry that. If you're a believer in here today, I want to pray for you tonight that God would break your heart for what breaks his heart. That's the poor, that's the lost, that's the lonely, that's the unloved. It's time for us as a church. It's time for us as a people of God, to get our hands dirty. And for those of you who already have your hands dirty, it's awesome. I pray for more of his heart, more of his love for all of us. Father, that's our prayer tonight. Shatter our hearts for what breaks yours. Lord, more of you. We decrease that you would increase. Lord, even throughout this week, I pray you would open our eyes. Open our eyes to see those who don't know you or are in need of the hope that we can bring, the Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we thank you. We thank you so much for your unconditional love for us, reaching out to us. Bless every family represented here. Father, just give us an awesome week. God, make your face to shine upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Come on, let's give him praise one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you for your patience. It's been an awesome service. I know that we've kind of gone a little longer than normal, but in some churches, some of you are saying, are we going out already? Finish already? But yeah, I just want to, I want to encourage you to have an awesome weekend. Just be on the lookout. God's going to give you opportunities to be a blessing. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week ahead.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.